154, and we were talking about forgiveness. People need to forgive and forget. And forgiveness is a magnificent gift from Hashem. It's essential for healing mankind's troubles and illnesses, forgiveness. Many diseases, such as ulcers, heart attacks, even stroke, can result from pent-up anger. People who want to live calm and healthy lives need to incorporate forgiveness into their lives. This skill will make for a more tranquil existence. It can solve so many of life's problems. So skill is forgiveness. And we're talking about resentment, talked about anger. Yesterday's parasha deals with don't bear grudges. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke. So those are skills that we have to learn in life, not to bear things inside, how to express it in a positive way, how to avoid confrontations, how to avoid anger. That's our next session. How do you avoid anger? And it's very topical because, as I said, we just read it yesterday's parasha. The Rambam says in the laws of Deot, Hilchot Deot, which is character traits, the laws of character traits, he says, a person, the golden mean is to try and find a medium in all paths, in one's midot. However, he says, there are two things a person's going to keep away from to the extreme. Yesh deot she'asur lo le'adam lenhot bahem. It's forbidden, in some cases, it's forbidden to a person to be medium in some areas. But a person should be on the extreme. Number one is gova lev. Gova lev is pride. But it should be on the extreme of humility. There's no medium path in pride. And that's why it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Anav Me'od Mikol Adam. He was the most humble. The reason why Hashem loved Moshe so much was because of his humility. And the Torah says, V'ram levavcha v'shachachta et Hashem alekecha. When your heart gets big, a person will forget Hashem. The person's pride makes them forget Hashem. So pride is the antithesis of serving God. Person wants to be Eved Hashem, is going to have humility. It's so hard to be humble, so hard to be truly humble. Humble does not mean I'm useless. Humble means I'm worthwhile, but the strength comes from God. My power comes from Hashem. Humble means a person is truthful. This is what I can do, but it's not what I can do. It's Hashem gives me the power to do it. That's humility. That's what we said, humility. So a person's humility allows him to acknowledge Hashem's existence, allows him to acknowledge everything comes from Hashem. That's humility. Whereas pride will say, I don't need Hashem's help. That's how we knew Bar Kokhba was not the Mashiach. That's how Rabbi Akiva knew that Bar Kokhba was not the Mashiach. Bar Kokhba prays, Hashem, I don't need your help, just don't help my enemies. Big mistake. All our strength.
He did believe he was the Mashiach.
He did it first, and then when Bar Kokhba said that, he said, this guy's not the Mashiach. Mashiach does not pray, I don't need God's help. You don't need to help me, Hashem. No such thing. Because without Hashem's help, we're nothing, zeros. And that's humility. Humility is, I know what I can do, but I also know that this came from God. This strength, this power, this knowledge came from Hashem. So a person has got to be very humble. And number two, chen ha-ka'as, anger. Midah ra'ahi ad le'mod. Look at his language. Midah ra'ahi ad le'mod. It's a terrible, extremely bad character trait. Here it is. So a person who got bad temper, it's a very bad trait. And just like a person has to do teshuva from the deeds, they have to do teshuva, Rambam says, teshuva, from the character traits. It's much harder to do teshuva from one's character traits because it means they've got to change themselves. And that takes a long time, a lot of effort. So the happiest day of a person's life should be when a person says, you know what, I didn't feel that. I'm absolutely calm. I didn't lose my temper. I'm so proud of myself. That should be the happiest day of one's life. And so a person should really get angry at something, but you know what? It doesn't affect them. Moshe Rabbeinu, look what happened. He lost everything because of anger. What happened? He hit the rock, got angry. Shimuna Hamorim. Listen to the rebellious people. Hashem said, that's it, you're not going to Israel. That's it. You're going to be Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be Mashiach. He lost it. A fit of anger. Terrible. The rabbi said, whoever gets angry, This is pretty careful. Im hacham hu achmato mistaleket. If he's wise, his wisdom goes away. Im navihu, if he's a prophet, nevoato mistaleket menu, his prophecy goes away. Baalei kaas, people with anger. En chayim chayim. Their lives are not lives. They're not really living. Because their life just alternates from one temper to another temper, another fit to another fit. And they're always angry at people. They're always big grudges in their heart. It's a horrible existence. And therefore the rabbi said, keep away from anger until a person feels equanimity. It's a very beautiful word, equanimity. A person feels, doesn't feel, even for things that normally would make a person angry, he doesn't feel anything. This is the great way, this is a good way. Good path is not to get angry. It's a very big level, high level, not to get angry. The righteous people, aluvim ve'enan olvim, they hear people insulting them and they don't insult other people. Shomim charpatam ve'enan mishivim, they hear people making mockery of them and they don't answer. Osim me'ava, they do things through love. So that's a high level. Obviously, that's a very high level. So that's anger. A person gonna it's halacha. Halacha is Rama makes it halacha. Rama makes character trait development a halakha. It's not just something good. Person should strive for it. It's halakha, which means it's Jewish law. It's much stricter than just pure advice. This is not advice, this is Jewish law. Jewish law is a person is not allowed to get angry. Wow, that's a hard one. Tell people it's part of Jewish law. Just like you gotta keep kosher, you gotta not lose a temper. Person not allowed to lose a temper. So it's a part of Jewish law, it's halakha. So a lot of people are careful with halakha, keep Shabbat, they keep kosher, but when it comes to anger, they don't realize it's a halakha. It's a halakha, black and white, the Rambam. Person not allowed to lose their temper. Two things, two areas to keep away from. One is pride, and the other one is anger. So the Torah tells us, we just read yesterday, Parshat Kedoshim, you should not hate your brother in your heart. It's so hard not to bear these little hatred, petty hatreds in one's heart. This guy, you know, I hate this guy because of what they did to me, and this guy hates what they did to me. You should reprove your brother. You reprove your fellow man. And should not bear a sin because of the person. Should not take revenge, nor shall you bear a grudge. We just read it yesterday. This is yesterday's parasha. It's amazing. How topical. The Ramban, Nachmanides, explains, the Torah is telling us how to avoid anger. How? Get it out off your chest in a nice, positive way. Take the person aside in a quiet room. You'll find a lot of things are misunderstandings. A lot of these things are so petty and so stupid. And the misunderstandings, a lot of it is misunderstanding. I didn't really mean it, I didn't really think, whatever, it was taken out of context. That's what the Torah is telling us, according to Ramban. How to express the hurt in a positive way. If someone has offended us, we are obligated to reprimand them. Even if we are not concerned about their well-being, but are rather concerned only about mollifying ourselves. So it's getting things off the chest. But, however, a person's got to be careful not to do it in a way which makes them angry with you. So now they say, oh, you judge me unfavorably, you know, you're at fault, and it's you. So a person's got to be very careful how they do things. So you can ask for a clarification. You say, excuse me, what did you really mean by that remark? Ask for a clarification. And usually the person will be very, very apologetic. I'm very sorry, oh, I didn't mean it like that. Don't take it like that, please. So that's probably the best way of doing things, is take the person to another room and ask them what they meant by that remark. What do they mean by that? You know, it's hurtful. And usually a person will apologize. So they're decent people, they'll apologize. And then there's no more reason for anger or resentment. That solves the problem. That's the end of the problem. With married couples, same thing applies. The person should take the other, you know, quiet place, quietly. If you can hold a hand, even better, and then say, you know, I love you so much. Why do you hurt me so much? Or what do you mean by that comment? What do you say about my mother? I'm sorry. The commentators note: you shall not hate. Lo tisna achicha. Don't hate your brother. Well, that's very strong language. Don't hate your brother. What is a classic case in the Torah? Yosef and his brothers. The trouble is the Torah is full of this. Bereshit is full of hatred, brothers. It seems like a person is born with this natural animosity to one's siblings. It's a terrible thing. We're born with this natural keeping up with the siblings, beating the siblings, a natural taharut is called, yes. Yes. Well, there's a lot of things which apply. Mikshum darke shalom. Darke shalom means peace in the world. We need to do things for peace in the world. These things apply. And talking about another Jew to another Jew is worse, because it's chilul Hashem as well. It's the issue of chilul Hashem as well. They watch exactly how Jews behave.
And
Jews are involved in Lashon Hara. Yes. Exactly. But darke shalom is very important. Making peace in the world is so important. Jews have enough enemies without making more enemies. We don't need to create more enemies. We have enough enemies. So they already suspect us. So listen, the truth is they're suspecting the wrong people. They suspect the Jews being a fifth column. We've got a worse fifth column over here. I don't have to go into details. There's a worse fifth column in this country. They're allowing people them in. I don't know how they're giving refugee status and then they kill us. It's strange. The Ramban says, Torah is teaching us how to avoid anger. So even if we do not hate the person, the memory of the insult is going to stay in a person's head. And what happens is the person harbors resentment of the person. And that's an invitation to eventually hate. That bad memory causes eventually hatred. The longer it festers in a person's mind, the worse it is. It starts festering and festering. And whenever the person sees that person, they feel hurt, they feel hatred. They recall everything. So therefore the Torah says, don't take revenge. So people allow themselves to become angry, tend to blame everyone else for their problems. However, sometimes it's usually the person themselves has problems. A lot of people today have problems, and they just don't want to admit they have problems. So what it is, they blame other people. So instead of addressing their own issues, they blame others for their problems. And that's a lack of self-esteem. The famous Rabbi Twersky. All the problems between people are usually self-esteem related. All drug-related addictions are all self-esteem related. Everything is self-esteem related. So why should a person have a self-esteem problem when they know they are creating the image of God? We have to really latch onto that. Hashem created us in His image, which means Hashem gave us part of His little spirit. We have a little bit of a soul of Hashem in us. So why should a person feel down? I'm elevated to a higher level than anyone else. I have my own unique responsibilities in this world. I have my own unique strengths in this world. Hashem loves me uniquely like a little child. Every parent loves their child. So we have to remember that all the time. Even when a person gets down, they have to remember Hashem loves them. It's so hard to remember that all the time. We have to remember all the time. Hashem loves us. And that's why it's so important to have children, so a person will feel the link between them and their child. They have to realize that's the link between Hashem and us. Hashem is our father. Hashem is our parent in heaven. So at times we blame other people for our problems. The truth is, we don't have anyone to blame. So, Yosef's brothers. What did Yosef do to his brothers? Three things. Okay, let's go. Three things. Come on, let's go. Who's awake today? Let's go. He tattletaled about them.
He told his dreams.
He told them his dreams. What else? There's one more thing. Tattletale, telling dreams.
He was spying on them.
Huh?
It was his father's favorite. Which
yeah, his father, that's right. It wasn't really his fault. That third one was not really his fault. But the fact that, you know, should have told his father, be careful. Don't overdo the favor because it could backfire. He didn't tell his father anything. And he accepted the gift and he wore the beautiful jacket, which is a jacket of leadership. You know, it's a big question if the forefathers kept the mitzvot. Someone asked me this last week, so I had to look up the answer. The forefathers keep the mitzvot or not? The Mishnah says in Kiddushin that Abraham Avinu kept all the mitzvot. Doesn't talk about the other forefathers. Abraham Avinu kept all the mitzvot. How did he keep the mitzvot? So Ramban says Abraham Avinu from Ruach HaKodesh knew and kept all the mitzvot. That's what the Ramban says. Rashi says all the forefathers kept the mitzvot. So Ramban asks on Rashi, if you say the forefathers kept the mitzvot, how could Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? How could Amram marry his aunt? How could Yaakov Avinu take the birthright away from the firstborn and give it to someone else? No, but I'm saying the Gemara says that the forefathers kept the mitzvot. Rashi says forefathers kept the mitzvot before Matan Torah.
Yeah, but
And how could Avraham serve chalav and basar when he...
Well, serving is no problem. You can serve as well. I can serve as well. Malachim. No problem. You can serve also. You can serving is no problem. Eating is a problem. Cooking it together and eating it is a problem. Malachim are not commanded at all. Malachim don't have any Torah guidelines. They have different Torah.
No, angels Torah. He had...
So he can do it. He can serve.
Cooked it.
Who said? He cooked it separately. It says he served it together. He served it on the... that's a drabbanan. Yeah. Serving it on the same plate is a drabbanan. But eating it separately, according to... You go to Amsterdam, half an hour difference. You can eat. You can eat meat straight after milk, wash your mouth. Anyway, that's not... Okay, but that's one of the questions. So three questions they ask on that. Ramban asks three questions. Number one is, how could Yaakov marry two sisters? Number two is, how could Yaakov take away the birthright from Reuven when the Torah says explicitly, give it to the firstborn? See, Reuven was the firstborn. And number three is, how could Amram marry his aunt? So three questions. So Ramban answers, the forefathers kept the mitzvot in Israel, but not outside Israel. They kept the stricture of the mitzvah in Israel. But I was like, anyway, so there's many different opinions over here. Maharal of Prague, he says that the forefathers kept all the positive mitzvah, but not the negative mitzvah. They kept the positive because even someone who's not commanded can keep a positive and get a schar. But if you're not commanded negative, why are you going to keep a negative? There's no schar for keeping a negative. Anyway, the forefathers. So the brothers hated their brother. And what do they do with him? Threw him in a pit, and then what do they do with him? Okay, that's what Rashi says, they sold him. Rashbam says, if you look at the Torah, it's a very strange language over there. It says the Ishmaelim were coming, and then it says the Midianites took him out of the pit. And they sold him. So what's going on? The Rashbam says, they wanted to sell him to the Ishmaelites, but then the Midianites beat them to it. The Midianites found him, and they took him out, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. So who sold him anyway? There's Machloket over here, Rashi and Ram. But the trouble is, later on, Yosef himself says, don't be worried that you sold me. So he does say that you sold me. So, against the Rashbam. So, shouldn't Yosef really hate his brothers? I mean, who had more reason to hate now? Okay, the brothers hated him, they took out their revenge. But now, what should be going on in Yosef's head for these 22 years?
Sinah!
I hate my brothers. I hate those brothers of mine. They sold me as a slave. What can you do? They threw me in the pit. They ripped my clothes. I hate them. I'm waiting for an opportunity to do revenge. And some people misunderstand the story. They say, yeah, he did take revenge. Look at the story. He put Shimon in jail. He made them go back for Binyamin. And the fact is, he didn't do anything to them. Okay, he caused them some concern. He wanted them to do teshuva. But when they come to him later on, he says, listen, it wasn't you. It's Hashem. It's all Etzba Elokim. So it's interesting, that's amazing. This is amazing. Yosef could really have died of in jail. Can you imagine, you put in jail again. What's thinking in his head? He's in jail in Egypt. My brothers caused this. He could have been very bitter. He could have ruined his own life by being bitter. Instead of which, what does he do in the jail?
Interprets the dreams.
Why? Why? Why does he interpret the dreams?
Because God gives him power.
But why? Why? Why does he want to do it?
Give him a chance to get out.
Why? 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 What's he doing in the jail? He's trying to help other people. La maharala. Why are you so worried, you guys? He's trying to cheer them up. He sees two guys in the jail. Imagine. You see two prisoners in the jail worried. So let them be worried. They're in jail. Well, they deserve to be in jail, right? They should be worried. No. He goes to try and cheer them up. What happened? Maybe I can help you. Imagine what happened. Look at his positive approach, even in jail. Amazing, amazing. He's not burning with resentment. He's not burning with anger. He's trying to help people in the jail. Maybe I can help you. He had a dream. Maybe I can help you. Maybe I can help you unburden that dream. Unlock that dream to you. Interesting. Yosef. That's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. He did not allow despair to overcome him. He did not allow his despair to turn into hate. And that's something we have to learn from Yosef. A person can be consumed. These things, these feelings can consume a person. A person's hate can consume them. A person's despair can consume them. They mustn't let that happen. Natan Sharansky, right? He was in this jail in... How many years was he in jail? Years. But can you imagine? He could have died in that jail out of just depression. He doesn't let it affect him. Amazing, amazing. That's the strength of character. That's the strength of Yosef. Someone else with a lesser stature would have lost heart. Discouraged. Abandoned in a foreign country. And they would have felt there's nothing left to lose. Yosef HaTzadik does not lose hope. Hashem is in charge. Hashem is in control. And that takes a lot of emunah. And that's what kept Jews alive through the centuries. What's Vehi She'amda La'avotenu La'anu? The covenant between man and God. We have a covenant between man and God, which will get us through thick and thin. Am Yisrael Chai. Jewish people will survive. The question is, will our children survive? And that's why we have a talk tonight on raising children in the internet generation at 8 o'clock tonight. Please try and come. It's Rabbi Shalom Hammer. He's a Magid Shir in the yeshiva of Sderot and Kiryat Gat. It's a Hester yeshiva. Tonight at 8 o'clock. Very important. How do we raise our children properly so that they also will retain their links to Judaism, just like we did, our previous generations did. It's so hot today in the internet generation. So hot. So we have to come tonight, 8 o'clock. I see everyone. So he was in jail, bolstered by his emunah. He interprets the dreams of the two ministers. And eventually he becomes the viceroy of Egypt. And even then, he doesn't forget his creator. He could have said, you know what, now I don't need Hashem anymore. I've reached my level, I'm the viceroy of Egypt, I got to where I want to go. Hashem, see ya. Famous joke. The joke is this guy is late for his meeting, and he's looking for a parking spot. So he's circling around the block, he says, Hashem, please give me a parking spot, Hashem, I'll keep kosher, I'll keep Shabbat, I'll do everything, Hashem, please. He said, never mind, I found one. So Yosef could have said, Hashem, that's it, never mind, I found what I need, I don't need you anymore. A lot of people do that. I found what I need, I don't need you anymore. Unfortunately, we need Hashem all the time. That's what the Torah says, Vayishman Yeshur, Vayivat, Yeshurin will go. Israel will go into Israel, they'll get fat, they'll enjoy themselves, and they'll forget Hashem. That's the big danger. So Hashem wants us not to forget Him. He wants us to give us reminders we still need His help, unfortunately. We have a lot of reminders today. We're surrounded by bitter enemies. We're surrounded by people. We need that reminder, constant reminder, we need Hashem's help all the time, every second, 24 hours a day.
But the fact remains that isn't that Joseph had taken his brother and had them beaten up separately?
They were never beaten up. The Torah does not say they were beaten up. He did separate one from the rest.
He was not beaten up?
No. He separated one and put him in jail. That's what it says. Shimon, because Shimon was the instigator.
But he did put him in jail.
Put him in jail, yes. He put him in jail. But the reason why he put him in jail was to bring them back with Binyamin to see if they still hated Binyamin, their brother, like they hated him. Well, they did the teshuva. They did the teshuva now.
Because he did something, you know,
yes.
That you
yes.
You didn't keep him in jail very long, though,
no.
Right?
No, until they came back. Until they came back. Well, it was more than a few days, but until they came back. Shimon was really dangerous. And Shimon, later on, the tribe of Shimon, rebels against Moshe. And Moshe scatters them amongst the rest of the Jews. Shimon never had a tribal land. Shimon was the only tribe. No, Shimon and Levi, two sinners, the two guys with bad tempers. Bad tempers, as we see again, the temper.
Korach is from Shimon?
Korach from Levi.
Zimri.
Zimri is from Shimon. But Shimon doesn't get a place in the land of Israel, nor does Levi. These two tribes are dangerous. They have bad tempers. They're going to be scattered amongst the rest. Shimon and Levi. But they're going to be talking about temper. So Yosef Tzadik. That's why Yosef HaTzadik, he could control his emotions. That's hard. Okay, that's number one. How can we control our emotions? Number two is, how do we deal with other people's anger? I have a case in my shul right now, two women not talking to each other. So one woman is not coming to shul because she doesn't want to see the other woman's face. So what I do? I have to go and talk to her. So now I've got to learn this section now. How do I deal with it? I can't stand the sight of this woman. So I spoke to the husband. The husband says she should make a dartboard and put the picture over there. That is not a solution, I don't think.
They actually went to you to tell
you? No, I heard through a third party. I wanted to find out how come this woman's not coming to shul. They don't talk to each other. They don't get along. They don't see each other's faces.
Being a rabbi must not be fun.
Oh, it is fun. It's fun dealing with all these things, isn't it? So much fun. As long as you're not involved, you know, personally. As long as your spouse and you are talking, that's okay. Huh?
Were they friends?
Yes, very friendly. Very friendly.
Why did they have
it? Okay, I can't talk. I'm not going to go into details. I'm not going to go into details for obvious reasons. Please don't repeat a word of what I said so far to anyone.
These things happen in all shuls.
This happened not just all shuls, it happened everywhere in life. Everywhere. The workplace, the marketplace, everywhere. People do not know how to get along. Unfortunately, we see in Boston what happened. People don't know how to get along. They want to blow each other up. I'm having a bad day today. Let me make a bomb. And people.
Oh, it's not as simple as that.
I know. I'm just saying. That's the media. The guy was not having a good time. He made a bomb. He's mad. Okay.
What do you have to say about that?
What I say? Very simplistic. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Dealing with other people's anger. Here we are. Now she goes into details of something we talked about weeks ago. And that is, whenever someone offends us, maybe we should just lower our heads and allow them to abuse us. This attitude is completely wrong, as I said before. Now she's addressing this now. The halacha provides solutions for even unpleasant circumstances. Often, the best course is a bet din. Yeah, sometimes, someone's abused. For example, I'll give you a case. Someone breaks off an engagement. It was a very public affair. They were engaged. There was a big party, engagement party. Big mistake, by the way. Yeah. Big engagement parties. And very, very important family. And then all of a sudden, one party breaks off without telling him a good reason. They break off. Now the other party's in despair. They get a bad reputation. And in Jewish law, there's compensation for that. But there's compensation also. I mean, it depends on how much shame was involved. There's embarrassment involved. So, the Torah does not oblige anyone to be abused. You're not allowed to be abused. We're not allowed to be abused. After Recha, Kamocha, you have to love yourself. You can't let other people abuse you. It's not allowed. They're not allowed to abuse you. No one's allowed to abuse you. So, we have to, if we want, go to the Beit Din. If we want, go to the Rabbi. And how do we deal with someone who's combative and angry? And the trouble is, the more combative the person gets, the angrier they get. And if we can't use anger to solve anger, anger on the other side makes the other anger even worse. Okay, now she's going to give us a lot of stories here. Okay, page 158. I think I have a better story. There was a woman I knew who lived in an apartment building. And a large family lived in the apartment directly above hers. This family made a tremendous amount of noise throughout the day. She complained to them often, but to no avail. Finally, she decided to move out. She purchased an apartment in a new building, hoping that things would be better and quieter for her new building. Shortly thereafter, a woman moved into the apartment adjacent to hers, who constantly played music at a high volume. No matter what time of day or night, so it's worse now. So she moved again. This time to a private house. Obviously, he had money. No apartments for me anymore. That's it. I'm moving to a house far away from everyone. The family in the house nearby kept a pair of vicious dogs whose barking kept her awake at night. Oh, I had a neighbor like that, right? Sometimes we just got to bow our heads. That's it. Sometimes, but it's got to say, that's it. Kapara, and that's it. Anyway, so person can try their best and do what they can. This happened to me. I mean, I couldn't sleep on Shabbat afternoon when you're having a naps. That was the time my neighbor used to go mow his lawn. Every Shabbat, without fail. 2 o'clock afternoon, Shabbat afternoon, he's mowing his lawn. That's it. You do nothing. Nothing you can do. Just grin and bear it. And a person's going to learn how to do these things. Obviously. You know what happens is usually when a person says, you know what, that's it, I don't care anymore, I'm not going to pay attention anymore, that's when these problems resolve itself. I went back to Israel. I stayed in my apartment for the first time in 20 some years because it's between rent tenants. And I find this kid built his hen house outside my window. Roosters. 3 o'clock in the morning. So, I was going to call the council, but then I said, I'm only here for a few more days. Just rent it out. So let the tenant deal with it. I'm not going to get involved with it. So what can we do? Hashem Yazor, So have this Listen, you just got to laugh and grin and bear it. Sometimes in life, you have to have a good attitude in life. A person has to have a good attitude in life. And this should be and not something worse. Gamzu le tova. Gamzula Tova, a person should say Gamzula Tova. And crazy stories. Okay, Gamzula Tova, and that's the reason why we have Rabbi Akiva. If Nachumish Gamzu would not have said Gamzula Tova, there would be no Rabbi Akiva today. If Nachumish Gamzu would have said, how old are you, 40 years old? Out of here. If he would have said, you don't know Aleph Bet, out of here. He says in Gamzula Tova. Everything is for the best. Everything has a reason. Everything has a purpose. Unless it's someone deliberately, that's something else. The guy built a hen house. He's trying to have hens and roosters. Okay. Let him enjoy a little bit. The kid's enjoying himself. Okay, I don't know. What can we do? So Gamzula Tova, accept everything. Move on. All right. So there's many stories over here. I'll let you read the stories. But sometimes a person can't escape. That's the thing. Sometimes a person cannot escape. Sometimes a person cannot escape. Sometimes wherever they go, it's the same. Have problems here, problems there. So the answer is maybe have many small problems and not one big one. A person's attitude should be many small problems. So as long as there's problems later on you can laugh at, because thank God you're healthy, thank God your marriage is intact, thank God you have your possessions. These are small things that infuriate a person, drive a person crazy. By the way, in Israel, your neighbors try to rule your life. I don't know if you know that. That if you rent out your apartment to someone they don't like, they're going to make your life hell as well. They'll chase you to the ends of the world. Okay. So anyways, so they're trying to manage your apartment. So if you're managing your apartment, they're trying to manage it. Okay. So anyway, so there's many stories over here. I invite you to read these stories. So I'm going to skip these stories. A lot of stories over here. You can read them yourself. Page 162. Moving on to page 162. Practical steps to eliminating anger. Number one, positive thinking. Person's got to find a way to think positively. Like Yosef, just imagine Yosef in the jail thinking positively. Wow. Hang on, we're not in that position. So how come we who are not in jail, how come we can't think positively? If he's in jail thinking positively, kal vachomer, how much more so we who have the benefits of freedom can't think positively? If the Jews in the ghettos who are afflicted and persecuted can think positively, how come we who have so much freedom today can't think positively? If our little problems are negligible compared to theirs, how come we can't think positively? How come the Israelis are positive and we're not positive? How come they're surrounded by enemies and they're positive? So that's the answer. Yeah, we have to think positive. We have to learn how to think positive. And by projecting our positive thoughts on others, will help us control our emotions. This is very important. Projecting positive thoughts on others. What does that mean? That means if you're positive, there's positive energy in the house, then everyone in the house will be positive. If the parents are positive, the children, normally what happens is the parents are positive, the children are positive. The children have a sense of vibes. It's very important as a parent or as a leader, a person's got to project positiveness, because people don't want to be around negative people. I'll give you a big secret to success. If you present positive energy, people will be positive. If you present negative energy, people will be run far away. So it's got to be positive all the time, constantly positive. So negative energy brings people down and people don't want to be around. If you look like a failure, you act like a failure, you will be a failure. Very simple. A person acts like a winner. I asked a guy in my show, very successful businessman. I said, what's the secret of success? Dress good. Look successful. And the bankers will believe you and they'll lend you money. So it's very important. Project success. Project positiveness.
They fake it till you make it.
I guess. I don't know about that. You can't fake too much, because that's, you know, there's another issue of what's called Ganeva Dat. You don't have to rob people's minds. So the idea is a person has to present a positive image. Positive. It's very important to think positively. If Hashem is on my side, if I'm on Hashem's team, how can I fail? But they're going to think to themselves, I have the greatest power in the world behind me. Why should I fail? I mean, Hashem wants us to be successful. We have the greatest power in the world on our side. So positive thinking. Really, if you look at the facts, Jews should not be around today. 0.17% of the world population. I'm just looking at the list of Forbes billionaires. Mm-hmm. I figured it out. I think there's 12% are Jews, of billionaires in the world. And the world population of Jews is 0.17%. So how can 1.17% translate to 12%? It's 1,000, how many times more than what it should be? I don't know. It's
Hashem. Nobel laureates also.
Nobel laureates even more. percentage is even greater over there. So a billionaire.
And then there's this website of all victims of terror.
Yeah.
It's the victim, you know that. So it will tell you how many Jews were killed in terrorist attacks throughout the year. It said that one of the years, it looked like a 9/11.
Yeah, 100%, sure, sure.
So every...
But look at the situation today. Today it's not Jews being killed, unfortunately. Look at it. Boston became ground zero. Amazing. Amazing.
Nobody said that's what goes on in Israel except Mark Furman and Sean Hayes.
Anyway.
That's it.
We have to be positive. That's it. Jews will survive. I'm positive. Mashiach will come. That's a positive attitude. Things will get better. Hashem is in control. We have to have positive attitudes to life, in the general, and also in our lives as well. And not let small things get us down. Must not let small things get them down. This attitude of Gamzu L'Tova is such a powerful attitude. It's such a powerful, positive attitude. We have to really make it part of our lives. Gamzu L'Tova. Let's get used to saying it. Gamzu L'Tova, everything will be good. So instead of cursing and abusing and getting angry, people say Gamzu L'Tova with a smile. Gamzu L'Tova. Very important. So, for instance, those who are divorced, who constantly repeat and retell how much suffering their ex-spouse caused them, are binding themselves to that spouse. They're closing off any possibility of growing, of developing, and of meeting new people. She says, I knew a 43-year-old woman who had divorced when she was 20. For 23 years, she had been unable to forget her ex-husband and everything he had done to her. She repeated to herself how much she suffered from him.
Oh my God.
No wonder she never remarried. This is a force of habit. That's a trouble. To move on, to close the doors, close the chapter and move on is so hard. Because it rehashes their mind. What they did to me, what this one did to me, this one did to me, that one did to me. What about the positives and move on? Think positive.
Maybe she doesn't want to get remarried.
Maybe. But this is stopping her.
Maybe she had enough.
God.
For 23 years. So the answer is we must eliminate anger from the equation. That's the answer. Try to eliminate anger. We have to try and eliminate anger. Easier said than done. And we have to know where the fire extinguishers in our brain are. Put out the fire of anger in our brain. So what are the positive steps? Number one is positive thinking. Positive thinkings help us control emotions, help us understand the other person's motives, try and understand what they're trying, what's their problems. Try and feel compassion to the other person. Well, that's hard. So this brings us back to the topic of the book. It's all in your mind, and it's the Jewish path to unlocking your potential. And how do we unlock our potential? And the answer is by using positive thoughts. Positive thoughts in our heads to overcome anger, to feel compassion, to feel that, thank God, things will get better, and with God's help, things will get better. How can a positive thought affect other people? One morning, my husband and I got into a serious argument. I'm not talking about myself. He left the house filled with anger. I felt terrible. I was afraid, as always. My husband would feel resentment towards me, and I would have a difficult time placating him. After giving the matter some thought, I decided to forgive my husband. And imagine us both forgetting the entire episode and simply moving on in our lives. That is the key to successful marriage. What she just said. Number one, forgive and forget and move on in your life. It took me a while to learn this in marriage. It's a very important secret. Instead of fighting and dwelling on it and harping and remembering and just bury it, forget it and move on. It's the secret to successful marriage. Yes?
There's a CD in the Torah Tape Library.
Israel Reisman, Rabbi Israel.
So it's called, I don't think I can remember, it's all like Yiddish words, forgin, forges, forcook, which basically means what you just said. Forgive.
It takes a lot of wisdom to do that, but that's
very
a secret.
Good marriage CD.
It's a very important, it's a very, very important, critical learning. Everyone's going to fight one day. There's no such thing as even the best people in the world one day is going to fight. And the answer is, what do you do with it? And the answer is, get it over with as soon as possible and move on. And forget about it. Don't keep re-hopping. You can make marriage the most wonderful thing, or you can make marriage the most disastrous thing. It can be heaven or hell. It can be the same people, just with different attitudes. That's all it is. Just a change of attitude can make such a difference. I had a terrible day last week. I'll tell you this. I had a terrible day last week. What happened was, normally my wife puts me up some breakfast for me in the bag. So she didn't. One day she forgot. And I'm driving to Brooklyn, and my car breaks down. So I'm waiting over there till 12 o'clock for the tow truck, because it was a restricted highway, and a regular tow truck couldn't come. So anyway, I had to call this. Okay, so the police, I call the police, 911. The policeman comes, the tow truck comes. I get there, and then the guy fixed the car, and then it broke down again after that. So listen, so what do you do? So the answer is, you come home with a smile. Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Nothing happened to me. Baruch Hashem. It's all kapara. Nothing happened. What happened? So I got a half day vacation from school. You gotta feel, you know, don't let it get to you. Stay calm. Don't let it get to you. Okay, so let's move on. So now what? What else? So that's good. It's good kapara. It's a good lesson. It's good learning. It's good learning experience to control oneself. Control one's emotions. If I go ballistic, where's it going to get you? Made my breakfast. Nothing. Had nothing to eat all day. Car broke down. I've had lunch. My God. Where's it going to get you? Where's it going to get a person? The blood pressure goes up and the doctors make money. So a person's going to stay calm and cool and let it wash over. Baruch Hashem. Nothing. So a person's got to let things wash over them, and that's the key. And the key is positive thinking. So now the question is, can positive thinking affect other people? Can positive thinking affect other people? Tesla says in Miktav Eliyahu, the souls of all mankind are bound together. Now the truth is, sometimes you feel affinity to someone, even though you hardly know them. You see someone, you say, he's like a brother, like a sister. But we're not related. And the answer is, we are related. We just can't see the relationship. Kol Yisrael Arvim Zeh LaZeh. Every single Jew is related. It's only we feel affinity. And that's also the secret of a person in Kiruv. A person in Kiruv, the idea of Kiruv is drawing people closer. But you can't draw people closer unless you yourself feel close to them. And how do we feel too close to them? Because we're all related. We don't really realize we're related. We're all related. So how are we related? And the answer is, I saw you at Sinai. We're all related. All our souls are at Sinai. All our souls are related. All our souls come from the same tree. There's a tree of souls. All our souls, some souls are closer than others. Some souls are from the same branch. Some souls are from the same, but we're all from the same tree. The souls of all mankind are bound together. The spiritual root of their lives are dependent on one another. That's what Rav Dessler says, and this is Kabbalah. Quick Kabbalah, all our souls are related. The rabbis, the Arizal says there are 600,000 primary souls. Those are the souls of the Jews at Sinai. But we're all of us come from those 600,000 souls. And those 600,000 souls come from one soul, which is the soul of Adam. Adam and Chava were one soul. That's what a batzug is. Batzug is half of one soul. Husband and wife are half souls. Half a soul of one soul, if you're lucky. So we have to realize that the positive thinking one person has affects another person. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, because we are not learning properly, he told his yeshiva, because we are not learning properly, there's a Jew in Paris driving on Shabbat. If we learn properly, there'll be a Jew in Australia doing teshuvah. So how does that work? And the answer is, our souls are connected. So it's called the ripple effect, the spiritual ripple effect. Every one of us has a spiritual ripple effect. So we have to realize, number one is, our souls are bound together. We have to rech kamocha. How can you love your friend as yourself? And the answer is, because he really is part of you. Your souls are bound together somehow. We don't realize that. The person says, you know, what's he got to do with me? I don't have anything to do with that person. And the answer is, yes, you do. Whether you like it or not, you have something to do with that person. Whether we like it or not. Some people would rather not see, but you know what? Maybe, who knows how we're connected. Our souls are connected. We do not know how to control of anger-causing situations. Anger brings us to debase ourselves and leads us to frustration. This often serves as a pretext for reigniting one's anger. Thinking positively about us brings us to fully understand that person. Such issues. Let's go. Let's read this story and finish. The worst situations are usually spousal or in the family. Parents and children. Some parents and children just do not get along. It's really rough. And sometimes this happens to the best families for somehow. Parents and children grow apart. Grandparents and grandchildren grow apart. I live in the United States. Here we are. My oldest daughter lives in Eretz Israel. A disagreement between my mother-in-law and me harmed the relationship between my daughter and her grandmother, who prior to the dispute used to spend weekends and holidays together. My mother-in-law began relating to my daughter in a cold, detached manner, and even singled out my daughter's children for different treatment from the loving relationship their children, their cousins enjoyed. This pained me very much, because my daughter was not even involved in the quarrel, and she was paying the price for it. I started imagining how relations between us were improving to my daughter's benefit. I imagined the warm bond between them and how much love they showered on each other. A week later, my mother-in-law called my daughter and invited her over Shabbat. When my daughter arrived, my mother-in-law greeted her with warmth and enthusiasm, and even gave her a gift. I was astounded at the speed in which my positive thoughts were able to resolve the spat between them. Baruch Hashem, our relationship has been improving ever since. Is this a miracle? What happened here? And the answer is positive thinking. And that's something which we have to try and bring into our lives, is this idea of positive thinking, how things, just imagine things being perfect. And that's our vision. The messianic vision is, we have to imagine, we have to bring it together. How do we bring it together? By start thinking about it. The lion will live with, how's that possible? So the answer Rambam says is, it's a metaphor for peace on earth. The Jews who are like the lamb will be live with the nations of the world, like the wolves. So we will live with the wolves, the calf will live with the lion, and the lamb will live with the wolves. Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, we have to think positive, and even when things look doom and gloom, we are Jews, don't forget. Miracles happen. Okay. See you later today at 8 o'clock. See you everyone today at 8 o'clock.
Thank you.